This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen.
Wow.
Amen. That's right. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And just good morning. Want to welcome you to Hidden Places today. I'm Karen Hubbard, your host, and I'm here with my co-host, Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our brother, Sean, who is here.
Good afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Almost. Yeah. In a little bit, it'll be afternoon. You're already, like, way ahead of us.
Yeah. He's probably been up for a while.
Right. Right. So, so Nanette's going to share a little bit about her trip to Korea with her hubby and her daughter and, you know, give us a little summary of what happened over there. And so why don't you do that, and then we'll get into...
Well, first and foremost, God is good.
Amen.
God is good. He's up to something, and, you know, we just got to know he's up to something. Right. Like, not figure it out. He's up to something. His plans will go forward, with or without us, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
So, wow. South Korea. There's a lot to say about South Korea. But it was just a beautiful nation, and it was truly a gift for us. And the people, actually, we have three children in the spirit from it. So we inherited three children, young adults, actually. And I'm thinking about them right now, YJ and Angela and Wisdom. And they right away felt like we were their parents. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty special. And that's the first thing that I'm thinking about, that we went to another nation. And, we received the gift of children. adult children in the spirit. And we just love them. We instantly love them. It's beautiful when you're with the Lord and you're walking in his spirit, how he gives you this love for people that you never met in your life. They're strangers, but they become instant family. And so when I think about Korea right now, sitting in this station, I'm just filled with love and the goodness of God and the unity in the spirit that we felt, the compassion we felt, the passion for them, just the love of God for them. Every single person, we didn't choose to be separate from them. We chose to be part of them. Like, literally from the last person in the row of that particular church, we wanted them to know that you're seen. And, we just made ourselves just available to the Lord and what he wanted to say to each individual, what he wanted to do, what he wanted to demonstrate, because it's about him. And so, but yes, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful nation. Pray for them. Continue to pray for them as he leads. They are truly a people on fire. They want more. They love the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So you guys went for, 2 weeks?
Yeah, about 2 weeks. And as soon as we touched ground, we just started moving. it was interesting because we thought we were there to just encourage the missionaries, because we had, oh my goodness, precious people. Again, these are families with little ones. I mean, little children. And some came from Indonesia. Some came from Bali. Some came from Egypt, you know, various nations to gather with us. So we had the opportunity to just encourage them as the Lord led and love on them. And then we had no idea that we were also going to be for the church, that particular church. And so it was like dual purpose. Mm-hmm. So that was a surprise for us. But they're out on the mission field, and we visited the first missionaries memorial that first went to Korea to share the gospel. And wow, there were so many headstones, and there were headstones of their children. But what was so inspiring was that according to John 12, because that was the scripture that the Lord laid in our hearts, and we recognized that was the same scripture that the missionaries used, the first American missionaries used to serve this nation, and it had to do with the grain. I think it's 12. I'm trying to find it. Oh, yes, the John 12:24. It said, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am." Isn't that interesting? In this New Living Translation, it says, "Anyone who wants to serve me must follow." I just feel like I have to say it again. "Follow me, because my servants must be where I am." You have to be where he is. And so we felt like the Lord at this present time, he was in South Korea. He was in South Korea with us, and he was reminding us of all these people that were willing to lay down their lives, willing to use their gifts and their skills. Some were doctors, and people were getting sick, you know, with these incurable diseases, these terminal diseases, and they were willing to serve those people with their skill to give them entrance, but then with the heart of the Father to give them the gospel, you know, and their children also laid down their lives there. And so walking through those headstones, I never felt more alive ever. Like, he gave me the revelation. You know how we hold on to our lives, right? Every day I have, you know, this desire to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have another day to live, right? I have this precious life to live. But do you know that death is just as precious in the Lord? And so here I am in front of a headstone with these beautiful words that mark this person's life, this missionary's life. And I never felt more alive. I felt like he was telling me, "Nanette, death is just as alive and powerful as life." Mm-hmm. And this kernel of wheat, I was researching how it comes, you know, it lies dormant if it's not in the soil. Hear me, guys. It's dormant, but when it goes into the ground, it's made alive. And so death is just as powerful as life. I don't know. You know, I'm still working on that revelation, but literally, I wasn't mourning. I wasn't mourning them when I felt life in a graveyard. That to me was just, wow. So he's saying something. Ask him what he's saying to you right now as I'm sharing. What does that mean? What does that truly mean? And so I was celebrating their willingness and celebrating that, after those missionaries gave their life, I mean, there's stories about a woman that her husband got to serve that community for, I think, 5 years, you know, and if I can recall it correctly, but yet she gave 40-something years of her life. She continued on as a woman in that foreign nation with the children to continue to finish the work her husband was led to do. And you hear these stories, and wow, it's like every day, how are we living our lives for him? How are we laying down our lives? How are we rejoicing just as powerfully, death? And so, It was just wonderful. Wonderful time. I can't say enough, and I don't want to take too much time on just our little trip, but you know, it was not about us, it was about him. And I always believe that whatever he's doing in our little family, he's doing with the rest of the body. I truly believe that. I do. That's how I live my life, knowing that. That it's not just us. When we were walking that ground, I took many intercessors with me, like you guys. I took everyone who prayed or everyone who just, you know, was just present saying, thank you, Lord, that they're there. However, it was like every one of you guys were with me. And I was just sharing with Sean. I said, and whatever we sowed into that nation, whatever we sowed into all those individuals, whether it was the missionaries, whether it was the church, it was like I felt the Holy Spirit say, they will reap just as you will reap. And so, guys, that's kingdom. You can't just think about yourself. You got to think like everyone. Mm-hmm. So I was like, Lord, I was in tears. I was like, they're going to reap what we're reaping? What a beautiful picture.
Amen. Well, you know, God is the God of increase.
Amen.
Increase, multiplication. Everything about God, everything about the kingdom is an expansion from what is mm-hmm. already now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that scripture you were reading, in verse 26,
mm-hmm.
in the Message Bible, it said, if any of you wants to serve me, then follow me. Then you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. The Father will reward anyone who serves me.
Mm.
And
that's it.
You got to serve somebody, like that old song says, you know, from a few years back. That was a Bob Dylan song that Steve Camp did as well. You got to serve somebody. But when you serve in the kingdom, you serve the Lord, then there's always growth from it. There's always increase from it for you and for others.
Yeah.
And when you serve yourself, that's what you get.
Yeah.
Boom, done.
And here we were thinking, okay, we're going to go serve. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to go serve. We're going to give it all. Whatever you put in us, we're going to give it. And they served us. Wonderful people. They operate in such a spirit of excellence. Guys, like such a spirit of excellence. They do everything as if they're doing it unto the Lord. They were just, and you know what, guys, get ready. There's going to be like an even slate. God is going to put people among kings. He's going to put you in places that you think you're not qualified for. And you think you don't carry a heavy enough name. Listen, we carry the name of Jesus Christ. That is enough. And that name takes you places. And what I mean by that name takes you places is like wherever you choose to, when you choose to follow him, he's with you, right? He's present. He's taking you there. And it was just a beautiful picture for us, like where it was just an even slate. And it was like, he taught me another level of humility. And it isn't the humility that I'm used to. I'm used to guys saying, oh, I need to be humble. Like, I don't need to be there. Let me continue to stay in the back. You know, let me continue to be hidden. But I felt like the Lord was showing me a new humility. How about if I want you there? Humble yourself to me. That's another form of humility. There were times where Jesus was in the background. Not now. Don't let them know I'm here. Not now. Don't let them know I healed you, right? But then there was a time that he was seen. And where was he seen? Mostly. Everyone saw him on the cross. Everyone saw what happened to him going to that cross. He was displayed for the whole world at that time to be seen. And that's when he was glorified. He wasn't glorified when he was healing people. He wasn't glorifying when he was setting people free. I mean, in a sense, but he was truly glorified on that cross.
Amen.
You know,
am I making sense? I don't know even what I'm talking about.
You really are. You know, and we know that unless a seed fall to the ground and die, it can't produce after itself, because within the seed is the inherent power of Almighty God. And as believer, you know, real leadership qualifications really come when we become doers of God's word, and God's word is that seed that has the inherent power to produce exactly what that seed was sent to do if we allow it to take place within its authentication, processing, and transformational power within us. Because some of the aspects and things that we'll see in real leadership is character is what really enables us to do what is right. But part of the seed is to give us that kind of character, just to do what's right, perspective and understanding what needs to happen to reach the actual goal, courage that enables us to initialize and take risks like you guys did. You took a risk. You stepped out towards a worthy goal of going somewhere. And then favor, you know, which is the enabling factor to attract and empower others to join the cause in the inherent power of God that is within us as believers, because the power is not hidden. The power is embedded within us to continue to build the right relationships with people, so that in building relationships, we learn how to expand the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for that summary of your trip. Yeah.
Keeping in mind that humility, as you said, really opens doors of opportunity to declare the gospel with the embedded power of God.
Amen.
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 That's so true. Mm. You just had that embedded word earlier, mm-hmm. you know, before we came on the air. And, you know, the kingdom of God is, it's both now and not yet, mm-hmm. you know. And it's you know, in Hebrews it says, you know, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You know, and as the world around us is shaking and people are shaking and things are shaking, you know, we have the kingdom of God that resides within us. And we need to have fellowship with the kingdom of God that resides in us through the Holy Spirit, through the work of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I had been the last 2-3 weeks or so, I keep hearing the Lord tell me, and I guess it's kind of based on Philippians 4, you know, about praying about everything. Mm. And in verse, where are we at? 6 and 7, I guess. You know, but it, let me just read this out of the message. So I'll just start. Verse 4, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the master is about to arrive and he could show up at any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness and everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me, what you've heard and saw and realized. Do that, and the God who makes everything work together will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Mm. You know, so, you know, we know that this is whatsoever things are true, noble, trustworthy, and all, you know, how King James, and we, you know, we all know it through the King James or the NIV. But the Lord has been speaking to me about the battle. That's why I played that song, The Battle, at the beginning. And because there is a war inside of you for your attention, and the war, there's a war inside of you for your allegiance, and there's a war for your soul. And any human being on the planet today knows that there's some stuff going on everywhere. I think we're all touched by it. We're all affected by it. It's not just an American thing. It's, you know, the Lord is pouring out his spirit. He's making himself known in the nations. And I believe he's putting himself on greater display to cause us to seek him. Now, we can sit and look at all the horrible things and awful things that are going on. And things are also going to get worse. So think of how it is right now. Whatever you think the worst thing can be, there's still going to be worse things to come. But when our attention is on those things that are bad, those things that are not good, then we give the enemy that chance to corrupt the rest of us. So our minds, we, you know, begin to see. I watched something one day. It took me like 2 or 3 days to really get over it because it was so horrifying, you know. And you know the old adage that you can't unsee things. So we've got to look upon the things that are true and noble and trustworthy, and that only comes from the Lord. The Lord. We have to submit ourselves to him. And I guess that's the whole bottom line, that intimate relationship with him, that to me, every waking hour, we need to be thinking about the Lord. We need to be, you know, even I'll go through my day and it's like, I'll just be, just say a scripture, some scripture that, you know, just something to keep you with your mind upon the Lord or on his word. You know, it's building up your, it's like when you work out with your muscles, you know, you start off with 10 pounds and you can probably do 15 reps of something, and then you increase the weight to 15 pounds and then you might only be able to do 10 reps. And then as the heavier you go with the weight, the less you can lift it. But the Lord is, he's really speaking to us to choose today who you're going to serve. It's not that we ignore what's going on, but we have to ignore what's going on. You cannot let the things that are going on, the shakings that are taking place, cannot allow those to consume your mind and to consume you, because they get embedded in you. And then, you know, then oppression comes, depression comes, confusion comes. It's like everything gets piled on top of that. And then, you know, once you realize it, then you got to fight your way out. Whereas if you exercise now, do the exercise now, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, anything, think upon those things and use your the authority that you have in your own spirit. You've got to overcome yourself. The battle is within yourself. And you've got to fight it yourself. We can have other people pray for us. We can have people lay hands on us. And everybody wants someone to just go into a prayer line and have somebody poof it off of you. But the Lord is saying you've got to do it yourself. Step up to the plate right before the cross. Stand in front of the cross and say, Lord, help me. Amen. And get there and stay there and, you know, deal with whatever you've got to deal with so that he can bring you to that place that you can't bring yourself. You know, we can sit and think how we want things to be. And, you know, I talk to people and you see all this stuff going on in the world and everybody's, oh, well, you know, it should be this way or that way, you know, but it ain't, and there's nothing you can do about it, but you can do something about your own life. You can get a grip on your life with the Lord. It's we're coming into a time where we've got to be unified with the rest of the body, and we've got to grow up. We have to grow up, and we've got to it's not like you're pulling yourself up by the bootstraps, but you have to take responsibility for yourself and quit depending on other people to babysit you and to carry you through daily troubles. It's the Lord himself. He's the one. Jesus is the one that sacrificed for you. He's the one that gave his life so that you could have an abundant life. How are you going to get that abundant life? You get it through a relationship with him. You get it through spending time with him. You get it through reading his word. You get it through him revealing himself to you through his word and through the Holy Spirit. Not through other people, not through online preachers, not through this one or that one. Through the word of God. You know, there's coming a time when there'll be a famine of the word of God. So if you don't have the word firmly embedded in your heart, and if you don't know Jesus, who is the living word, you're going to be left out in the cold. And the same with the 10 virgins. There's 5 foolish and 5 wise. The 5 wise virgins kept oil in their lamps, oil representative of the Holy Spirit. They made the effort to spend time with the Lord, because that's where the oil comes from, the Holy Spirit, and the time that you spend with him through the word, through receiving from him, through prayer, meditating upon the word. That's where the oil comes from. And the Holy Spirit empowers you. The Holy Spirit breathes into your life. And I just encourage all of you to choose the Lord. Choose the Holy Spirit. Choose the presence of the Lord over shopping. Choose the presence of the Lord over just mindlessly doing things. And I'm talking to myself, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I could go to Home Goods and spend 2 hours in there, but I'm going to end up with nothing, because anything I bought is going to crumble. When I die, it's not going to be there, so it doesn't matter. But yet, if I'm spending time with the Lord in his presence, in his word, receiving life, receiving seed, because he gives seed to the sower, he's going to give you seed so that you can in turn plant that seed into the lives of other people. And the seeds will grow as you plant them. So I just encourage you, spend time with the Lord. Spend time. Get the oil. Get the oil now, because we know that with the 5 foolish virgins that did not take the time, the bridegroom came. And the ones that had the oil were ready to go in. And while the other ones were busy going out trying to find oil, there's no time. There's really a sense of urgency in the spirit. And it's, I feel as, you know, as we get closer to the return of the Lord, that there's things are going to be accelerating. Things are going to happen at a much quicker level. You know, those of us that have known the Lord for 30, 40, 50 years, we've had the luxury of time. And, you know, so over the years, you hear something and then you could mull it over in your mind for 3 or 4 years before it really begin to take root or come to pass. But we're at a time now where things are happening very, very quickly. People that are coming into the kingdom, people that had no reference to the Lord, get saved, and they're understanding things that took us years, 20 years, 20, 30 years. And these people, this one guy I'm following has been saved for 45 days, I think. And he'll come on and do a 2-minute thing on Instagram and say he was reading about King David or something. And he's like, where do I find King David in the Bible? Are there two Davids? Is there David the king or David the regular guy? So very inquisitive about the word, but he said he's not using Google, he's not using Bible Gateway or any of the other places to look up. The Holy Spirit is leading this individual. And so I guess what I'm saying is, you know, things are accelerating, and it's time. It's time to get.
I think what you're really telling us as I'm listening is that the thresholds of life really require movement, because there's no such thing as momentum without movement. And if we're going to walk in the Spirit and allow the authentication process of God's transforming power change our lives, then we're going to recognize real faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And as it says in Psalm 119, it says, standing firm in the heavens and fastened to eternity is the Word of God. Your faithfulness flows from one generation to the next. All that you created sits firmly in place to testify of you. By your decree, everything stands at attention, for all that you have made serves you, because your words are my deepest delight. I didn't give up when all else was lost. I can never forget the profound revelations you taught me, for they have kept me alive more than once. Lord, I'm all yours. You are my Savior. I have sought to live my life pleasing to you. Even though evil men wait in ambush to kill me, I will set my heart before you to understand more of your ways. And then at verse 96, he says, to all perfection of our human endeavors, there is an end. But the word of the Lord is eternal, unfailing, unchanging, and uncompromising. So if the thresholds of life require anything, requires movement, and as we walk in the Spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus, is movement, is life himself that provides the momentum we need to keep doing it from generation to generation.
Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. Okay. We got to take a break.
Yes.
We don't want to, but we do.
Yes, take a break.
Give you like 2 minutes to think about that. And we'll be right back.
What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
We are here.
Okay, we are back, and Nanette's here, ready to tie all of this together.
Not tie, you know, I'm always in awe of God. Guys, his wonder is, I love being in his wonder, because here's my dear sister Karen talking about the oil, and I was in the oil this morning. Like I felt the Lord was telling me, I want you to know more about the oil, the specific oil placed in the lamp. And then my brother, Sean, comes and he's talking about thresholds. And I was in thresholds this morning. So even these last 20 minutes, guys, the Lord is truly speaking. He is truly speaking. This is a divine moment. This was written in the scrolls. This is something that he wants our attention on, literally. So these thresholds, the only, as far as I got with the thresholds, there was thresholds in throughout the Bible. But just one of the things that I was just defining the word. And listen, it symbolizes a point of transition or change. And it's the beginning of the beginning of the new journey, a new experience. It's a metaphor crossing from one state of being to another. That's physical and spiritual. And so it carries something literally that's happening and something that's happening symbolically. There's significance in both. I mean, so I'm there. That's how I started, and I had to go. I had to, you know, get in my car and come here. So I was kind of disappointed because when I'm onto something, when he's taking me somewhere, I can't stop.
Three lepers, just for illustration, yes, of what you're saying, they were healed as they went.
Healed as they went. Okay. Then this oil that Karen's talking about, I was asking, like, why did the wise version say, you know, go, you know, get some. There's people who's selling oil. You know, and so I came across, this is not my note-taking at all, but it said that in Matthew 25, when the foolish virgins were told to go to them that sell, okay, to buy oil for themselves, it began with the question, who are those that sell oil? And I'm just going to fast forward because it says that this brings us to the buying of the oil. Who is it that sells the oil to the foolish virgins? And they're talking about the where is it? Oh gosh,
it's in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's in there somewhere. I'm just gonna put it in a nutshell. When you were mentioning how you running to people here and there and everywhere to get laid hands on, you know, to receive a word. I believe that's the go sell. There's people selling right now. There's people that you can go to and grab and buy from them. Yeah. But it isn't the oil that they had. It wasn't the same oil. And so I'm just paraphrasing. I'm just cutting to the nutshell. But there's a lot here. But you don't want to be that. You don't want to be the foolish one. And that pure oil was the clearest oil for that lamp. Okay? So there's meaning about the lamp, and there's meaning, significance about the lamp and the oil that was used for that lamp. But that oil, they were stating here that that oil for light is wisdom. Okay? It's the wisdom of God. And it said, the oil for the light is wisdom, okay? It says, which the wise virgins had and the foolish virgins lacked. We saw likewise in righteousness as light, okay? Righteousness as the light. And the light fueled by the oil is actually the works of righteousness being done by the Messiah living within. We're talking about right. This within, mm-hmm. right? Living with those who allow, okay, the Messiah, the Lord in us to keep the commandments, right? Yahweh the Father, the spoken word. Karen, you were saying the spoken word, the word of God, knowing the word of God. And it goes on to talk about how that is what we need. That's what made the wise virgins wise. It was the wisdom of God, the knowing of who he is, the word.
Amen. You know, I heard Kim Owens from Fresh Start Church a couple of weeks ago, just a little clip showed up, and she was talking about the person that keeps the oil. They were a person who was, they worked, they were underground. The one that was responsible for keeping the oil to ensure that there was no mixture in the oil.
Ooh.
And so that person was always hidden. You never saw them. They were always hidden under the ground. But it was their sole purpose in life to keep that oil pure. And I, you know, I heard recently too that, that somebody from Walmart, it's probably some TikTok person, that said that, I'm not calling out Walmart, but this person alleges that Walmart reuses, when they drain oil and do an oil change, that they re, and I guess some places do that, they re, I don't know what the word is, reconstitute or something, you know, and like they'll separate the oil.
Wow.
You know, like, and still they can use it. That's terrible to think about. But when you think about this in terms of the spirit, you know, the mixture, you don't want mixture. When you follow people, you're going to get mixture because you're going to get what they're regurgitating. Maybe they have something, revelation or something from the Lord, but it's their version of what was given to them. It, you need your own oil. You need that wisdom, like you're saying, the wisdom of God for yourself, to where when you hear it from the Lord, you know it's God. You know, I was just reading. I didn't mean to cut you off, Nanette.
No, no, no. You're adding. Come on. You're making it better.
So where is that in? What is it? It's about where, I think, 1 John. Let me find that. 1 John 2, where it's talking about the Antichrist and all that. You know, the Antichrists are all over the place. And then, you know, about deception. So so in verse 26, so 1 John 2:26, I've written to warn you about those who are trying to deceive you, but they're no match for what is embedded deeply within you, Christ's anointing, no less. You don't need any of their so-called teaching.
There you go.
Christ's anointing teaches you the truth on everything you need to know about yourself in Him, uncontaminated by a single lie. Live deeply in what you were taught. And, you know, then before that, in verse 20, it says, but you belong, the Holy One anointed you, and you all know it. I haven't been writing to tell you this, to tell you something that you don't know, but to confirm the truth that you do know, and to remind you that the truth doesn't breed lies. So the...
What was that scripture again? Sorry.
1 John 2... 26 and 27, and then it went back to verse 20. I'll just say, I remember when I first got saved, and I'm sitting in the hospital bed waiting for surgery, dental surgery, the next day, and I read this scripture where it says, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you need not any man teach you, because what you have is true, and it's not a lie. And I knew immediately God was saying, you have the Holy Spirit within you. And that Holy Spirit that's within you, that resides with you, that abides in you, He's the one who's going to teach you everything. So I know what I'm saying is, you have to know for yourself. Don't be a foolish virgin. You've got to know Him for yourself. And once you know that you know the Holy Spirit, then... when you hear it from other people, you're going to say, oh, that's not true, and or that's a lie, because He dwells within you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, because at that point, it didn't matter. You know, it said they both fell asleep, wise and foolish, fell asleep at that time. Whatever time that was, they fell asleep. But what mattered is that they got up and they trimmed their wick.
Right.
And they had enough oil, and they were able to enter in. They all heard the voice, right?
hey, he's ready. Come on in. They all did, right? The foolish and the wise, according to scripture. But the foolish couldn't enter in because they had to go back.
Well, they were out busy looking for their oil.
And out busy looking for the oil to buy. But again, the wise were there and they had enough and they were able to go in. And, you know, in Proverbs 24:3-4, it says, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. And it emphasizes wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. In constructing, it's a physical dwelling. And our life becomes strong and prosperous because of it.
Amen. Scene's over here burning up.
I know. Sorry.
Oh my goodness,
I should have
gracious.
Saw you. Sorry.
You know, the anointing is burden removing, yoke destroying power. So the anointing is not unction. Unction is not the anointing, but the unction is the permission, the go ahead to use the anointing that's available. But you can't walk in an anointing unless you have revelation. And it must be made very clear to every believer that revelation, wisdom, and understanding that comes from God is a basis for living life. So knowledge is the accumulation of facts, information, and details. Faith begins where the will of God is known, but that will, the will of God, is revelation knowledge. It's what God reveals to you through his word. It's not common knowledge. It's intimate, accurate knowledge, because your relationship with God is one that is face to face. So knowledge being, revelation knowledge being the accumulation, facts, information, and details of the word is one thing. But to apply that word, you have to have the wisdom to do so. So when you receive unction from the Holy Spirit to do whatever it is that you're doing by an anointing that removes burdens and destroys yokes, then that's where the simple understanding of how to operate between the natural and the supernatural comes together. So when you really have revelation knowledge of who he is in you, then you begin to use the mind of Christ through wisdom to apply the truth that you've learned and been transformed to. You can virtually do anything he said you could do, because that's the manifestation of the presence and the operation of who God really is in you.
Amen.
Amen.
Boy. Well, we live in exciting times. And it's all hands on deck. But whose deck are you on?
Whose deck?
You want to be on the deck of the Lord. It's time for action. It's time for that manifestation that Zane was just talking about.
Gosh.
It's time for the everyday believer to really know what you believe and act on what you believe. Faith without works is dead.
Mm-mm-mm.
If you have the faith to do something, then do something.
You know, on a side note, I know this probably has nothing to do with, but last night on my way to the... Last night on my way home with my husband, side note, I was talking to my mom, and listen, you guys don't know me, but I'm a jokester. Like, I really am. I'm not that serious at all. So I hope people who are listening to me on the radio, right, I'm not that serious at all. I really am a jokester. But really quick, we're driving home and I'm talking to my mother and we're recapping everything. And I'm like, oh, mom. And I go, yeah, exactly. You know, because I'm, you know, my husband and I were different and yet we're similar anyway. So he's driving and I'm like, yeah, mom, I don't know what we were talking about. But I had said, because when you mentioned all hands on deck, it, it just, I go right military, you know, coming from a military family. You know, in the military, you know, in armed forces, it always says you don't leave anyone behind, right? Mm-hmm. Leave no man behind, right? When we're talking about war and everything. And so I'm like, Mom, I have that kind of attitude, like, don't leave no man behind. And I said, but my husband is like every man for himself.
Right. Well, you get that too.
So when you're talking about, you know, we got to be that wise virgin.
Exactly.
And we got to get it for ourselves, guys.
Amen. So I just want to put out this disclaimer that WCNO is not saying or charging Walmart with selling recycled oil as new. Just going to put that out there. I was simply referring to somebody on TikTok or Facebook that had said that. So I was using that as an illustration.
Yes.
So I just want to be sure that we're not, that is nothing from WCNO.
We are not part of that. Exactly.
And this is why you have to listen to everything that you hear and hear it from the Spirit.
Amen.
And don't listen to people on TikTok. But anyway, that was just the illustration there.
Just an illustration. And it worked.
Yeah.
Because there's the oil of gladness and there's the oil of sadness. Mm. And we want to invoke on the oil of gladness. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, mm-hmm. and lift up your voice to God.
Amen. Lift up your voice like a trumpet.
Mm. It's the sound of the jubilee.
Prepare the way of the Lord. Mm. I think things are going to get exciting. The worse the world gets, the more amazing it's going to be for the church.
Oh, wow. Two extremes.
Living.
That's right.
Living in the finest hour. And that's why we have to think upon those things that are good and noble and trustworthy. And, you know, let that be the things that we dwell upon, not the bad things
mm-hmm.
that are going on. So we got like a couple more minutes.
Yeah, it's like the flip of the coin. It's both sides of the coin, mm-hmm. you know, the head and the tail.
That's right, because as the darkness gets darker, the light gets brighter.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of us that know the Lord, you know, I just, again, me being the social media junkie, there's a pastor in Ireland that I guess several, maybe 20, 30 years ago, he and his wife and a group went around to the four corners of Ireland and, you know, declared that Ireland belonged to Jesus. And they're doing it again. So he's a guy that came out of addiction and stuff. So he's going back and he's evangelizing, you know, so they're going to the four points, four corners of Ireland again. And he's got a guy with him that has a guitar. So he's doing worship music because they said, you know, it brings the presence of God. And then the people come. So he's ministering to all kinds of people. The Lord's just supernaturally sending them people that are getting saved. But, you know, as I was watching it, I'm like, wow, you know, just, you really felt the heart of Jesus. So he's, the Lord's everywhere.
Amen.
In every nation. We've got brothers and sisters in every nation that we need to support. And we need to, you know, just, it's like now I'm like, okay, let me see what else is going on in Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's encouraging.
Yeah.
And
we were, you know.
You were in South Korea, so.
Exactly. And you know what? There was like four or five other voices during the same time frame in Korea, reminding Korea, God, this is a nation for God. Like, reminding Korea, like, this is the time, and the Lord is upon them. And so, yeah, I'm there with you. Like,
amen. All right, well, we just got like 10 seconds left. So thanks so much for joining us. And we will be back next week with Only the Lord Knows. We kind of have what we want to say, and then
yeah, exactly.
He moves it around however he wishes.
Mm. Puzzle pieces.
Yeah. So thanks. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call the station 772-221-1100, or you can email us go to the website wcno.com and use that prayer request form to let us have your comments or prayer requests.
Thank you.